you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 20th, 2019. And before we get into some good conversations about some biblical concepts, maybe some favorite scripture verses or something that the Lord's put on Pastor Jason's heart or something that he's learned or been taught recently, let me make a couple announcements this Sunday night. The Singing Men of GNN would love to close out your Sunday time with an evening of worship. We'll be gathering at the Southside Church of the Nazarene, 1629 King Street. It's great to have a church on King Street, King Jesus Street. It's in Tilton, Illinois. So for those of you that are like, where's Tilton, Illinois? It's between, just say, Urbana and Danville. So it's a little bit east of us, and we'll be gathering at 6 p.m. It's a free concert. There will be a love offering, but come on out and enjoy or close out your Sunday evening with a worshipful experience with the Singing Men of GNN. Again, it's at the Southside Church of the Nazarene in Tilton, Illinois. And many of you have heard about our trip to Washington, D.C., 6 days hosted by Chris and Dave Sender. They've done this, I think, 31 other times, so I felt really good to join them. And there's like 50 of us that are going. There used to be 52, but 2 seats opened up, so if you, on short notice, it's like 17 days away, want to join us, it's 5 overnights in hotels around the D.C. area, and I think one in Pennsylvania as we're traveling there and traveling back. But we'll be leaving from Marketplace Mall. It's happening October 6th through the 11th. And you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. But we have a great bunch going. It'll include visits to the White House, visits all over Washington, D.C., to the various museums. We'll go to the Bible Museum, the Vietnam War Memorial, all the great memorials and the different museums around the mall, visiting a lot of different things. And then even on our way there, we'll be stopping by Gettysburg, and it's going to be a great group. We'll visit the White House, and we'll see a lot of great history unfold before our very eyes. It's a great trip that's priced right, and if you want to find out more, you can call the station. I can email you information, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. It's a 6-day trip, October 6th through the 11th. We'll be leaving early on October 6th. That's a Sunday morning. And then we'll be returning late on Friday night, the 11th. So if you're interested or want to find out more, it's a great bunch. In fact, my brother and sister-in-law are flying in from Arizona, joining Holly, I, and Esther, and there's a bunch of other great people. So I think you'll make some lifetime friends and experience really some things that you'll never be able to see otherwise. So come join us. We have room enough for a couple, like a husband and wife or two good friends, hopefully of the same gender. And then we do have a possibility for a single. And so if you didn't know anyone and you want to make some friends and you're a risk taker, I think you'll really enjoy it. So just call the station and we can get you more information, 217-367-7777. So excited to get back with the Singing Men of GNN. They sang a few weeks ago at a women's prison, Jason, but this one is going to be one of our full concerts out at Southside Church of the Nazarene in Tilton, but it'll be great to have the Singing Men gathering. And we've had some good rehearsals lately, so I think we're ready for this one, and I think people are going to enjoy it. So, Lord willing, Esther and I are going to go to a drive-in tonight. I don't know if you've used up your little drive-in coupons, but it's getting near the end of the season where the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City is only open on the weekends. And this month of October, they've had like Fright Night, which is kind of like, I don't want to go to a movie and be scared to death or, you know, see gore and such. And so finally this week, they have one that's children-friendly. I think it's Hotel Transylvania. Castlevania or some kind of a little spoof on little monsters and, you know, anyways, it's, I've been waiting for it to be child friendly so I could bring Esther, and I finally, you know, after the first few weeks in this month, I'm like, there's no way I could take, she'd have nightmares with that. So I'd have nightmares with some of those movies that come out. They're so realistic and they're made to terrorize you. I guess that's a thrill for some, but I don't like to pay and then see that kind of thing. But this one looks like it's pretty funny and pretty harmless and won't have her up all night long. So we need her sleeping. So while Mama's away, we don't want Mama Bear to return home saying, what's going on? What's wrong with Esther? Oh, I traumatized her. Yeah, so anyway. So I may see some of you at the Harvest Moon Drive-In tonight, Lord willing, if all goes well. Have you had a chance to do any fun family outings lately? I know with your health and such, it's been an adjustment with your lifestyle.
Yeah, no, we just go to doctor's appointments together. we do that kind of stuff. But yeah. Now, hopefully, once we get everything behind us, maybe we'll get some time. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, you and Tasha and obviously Molly have a classic Facebook post. I've shown it to Esther a few times. I said, Esther, is this the same kind of look you have when I do little dance moves in front of you, or I try to do that daddy-daughter dab where I'm doing the dab, and she goes, you don't do that right, Dad. I'm, you know, I try to do that little dab with my arms at her. And so I showed her the video with Molly's face. You know, you have Tasha there. I think you put a post something like, this is why I love my wife, or something, you know, endearing. And so you have Tasha there. She's, like, singing along with a song, and the song got muted. I mean, you can maybe explain that, but anyways, she's singing along, having a good time, kind of acting out how many of us parents do, and then you pan over to Molly, and her face is like stone cold, like, must I put up with this? Do you have to really act this way, Mother? And then you pan back to Tasha.
I think you said you are so embarrassing.
Yeah. I showed that to Esther, and she goes, yeah, Dad, you do that same thing to me. And so, oh, it's so classic. And little Molly holds her stare. She's like unfazed. She just like 6 or 8 seconds is just sitting there staring at her like, I have to put up with this. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she's pretty embarrassed by both of us. She thinks that we're both quite embarrassing, especially at the bus stop.
Jeez. Okay, what do you do at the bus stop?
We dance. I do the moonwalk. We point at the kids on the bus. The kids on the bus think that we're the greatest parents ever, but our daughter thinks that we're absolutely embarrassing, which makes me want to go to the bus stop more.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they haven't learned that strategy. If you just tolerate it for a few minutes, we'd probably stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
When you tell us we're embarrassing, I try and think of new ways to be more embarrassing.
Oh, well, that's classic. I've shown Esther that a few times, so...
Oh, that's a good one.
It's good to know that many of us parents were very similar in that way. Like, hey, we're just trying to have fun. You should enjoy this. But I don't know. I guess we were probably the same way when our parents acted out. I can't remember that far back.
Yeah, I think we probably were. Yeah. I think we were probably like, come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think my parents did exactly what I'm doing now, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, whether they say what goes around comes around or something.
Yeah.
So we become our parents and we're like, no way, I'll never be that way. And then we find ourselves acting out or doing whatever. So, and then I have to think, you know, when it's all said and done, it's like, thank you, Lord, again and again, over and over, for being patient with me, for tolerating my missteps or my self-centeredness or my flaws or my repeated acts of falling short of the mark. And, you know, when I see something that bothers me and something else, I think, how many times does the Lord, you know, have to say, hey, Mark, that's you. That's you again. Or I was reading through various stories in the Bible and thinking, gosh, why do they act like that? Well, because I act like that. Why did Judas do this? Well, you know, there's probably been times I've done that. Why did Peter deny him? You know, how many times have I, in indirect or maybe subtle ways, denied Christ? Why did this individual do that? You know what? I've done that too. So it was kind of convicting yet reassuring that we're human, we're flawed, as you have said many times. For all have sinned, out of Romans, and have fallen short of the glory of God. It's a reminder that we're flawed, that we need a Savior. And the sooner we can lean back into the Lord, say, forgive me, help me, guide me, the better off we are.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I mean, I think that we need to remember and have perspective that, you know, we're not the standard of righteousness. We're not the standard bearers of righteousness. That's Christ is the standard bearer of righteousness. And that we really need the strength of his spirit. Because I think that truly, Mark, all of us want to be better than we are.
Yeah.
All of us aspire to good things. All of us aspire to serving and loving well. I really do think that. I don't think that people wake up in the morning. Maybe I'm just a optimist, but I don't think people wake up in the morning and say, you know, how can I just have the worst day today and affect people in a negative way? But the thing is that we can't do those things. And I think that that's what all those biblical stories are there for, to show us, is that Peter in the Spirit is amazing. I mean, Acts chapter 2, when he gets up, and I mean, he preaches the first sermon of the church. By the way, this gives me hope, because Peter, who denied Christ three times, Peter, who was rebuked on the side of the Sea of Galilee when he's like, who do you love the most? Is it going to be me? You know, Peter, who had all these kind of shortcomings, he gets to stand up and preach the first sermon of the church, and 3,000 people come to faith. But then later on in the book of Acts, you know, the sheet comes down and God says, what I call clean, it's clean. And Peter's like, nah, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And three times there, God has to go back and forth and wrestle with Peter. And then later on in the book of Galatians, I believe it is, the Apostle Paul has to rebuke Peter for the things that Peter's doing. And so we have these pictures of Peter in the Spirit and Peter not in the Spirit, mm-hmm. Peter in the flesh. And I think that that's what we have in all of these kinds of biblical stories. We have this dichotomy between somebody who's operating in the Spirit and the righteousness of Christ and somebody who's operating apart from it, and what that looks like, to show us that there is a disparity and that we ought to seek to live in the Spirit.
That example you just shared about Peter in Acts, I've never thought about it, or at least I can't remember thinking about it, but it was three times that God, like, lowered down that sheet or pointed out, you know, the mixture of the, I mean, it was three times?
Yeah, God had to keep arguing with him about it.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, when denying Christ three times, and then when Jesus says, do you love me, Peter, more than these, and, you know, three times, and it's like, wow, there's that pattern again.
And what is Peter showing us? I mean, because why won't Peter eat what's on the sheet, Mark?
Prejudice or bias or...
Because the law tells him that it's unclean. And so God is speaking to Peter and telling Peter to do something, and Peter's going, yeah, but the law says.
Hmm.
And God's going, no, I authored the law. I know, but the law says. You know? And so you have this moment where Peter is still holding on to the religion and not listening to the voice of God. He's so entrenched in, I must do it this way because this is the way this system has told me to do it, that when God is speaking directly to him, he's missing it. He's really at that moment not that much different than the Pharisees, who, when Jesus is speaking to them, they're going, yeah, but the law. And Jesus is going, yeah, but the Word made flesh is right in front of you. And you're missing it. And I think that that's what we tend to do, because we're not operating in the Spirit. And it's so interesting, because we have such... We have examples of people in the Spirit, and they're not good examples, you know, where people say that they're operating in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, and there's some things that happen that I think are more fleshly than they are Spirit-led. And then we have examples of people operating with no Spirit at all. You know, we call that fundamentalism, and it's not very much fun at all. And so what happens, though, is that we get so scared of one that we run all the way to the other side. We have so much trouble navigating the middle. There's so much trouble saying, you know what, I don't have to be a fundamentalist and I don't have to be charismatic. What I can do is I can live in the middle, walking with Christ and in the Spirit. There's a verse, and I'm going to off the top of my head, I'm going to paraphrase it, that really grabbed me today. And that was John chapter 6 and verse 63. And in it, it says that the Spirit can do it and the flesh cannot. And it's really an interesting time. In fact, in John chapter 6, what happens is Jesus has come and he's fed the 5,000. So people have gathered around. Jesus, taking next to nothing, turns it into something miraculous, to where the leftovers are more than what he began with.
Mm-hmm.
And he feeds all these people, and these people are super happy. I mean, there's throngs of them just praising Jesus. And then chapter 6 goes on, where Jesus sends the disciples out on the water on the boat. And then he comes and he walks on the water to them, and they're struggling with who he is. And then it says that Jesus comes back, and the crowds are there, and he engages the crowds a second time. So in the beginning of the chapter, he engages the crowds by feeding them. very physical kind of miraculous act, which probably made them happy because they were hungry. And then he comes back, and he begins to apply the spiritual lesson to the feeding of the 5,000. He begins to tell them that if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't be of me. What Jesus is saying is, he's saying, just as you took the bread and the fish and you ate that and it filled your belly, you need to drink deeply of who I am. And he even tells them, he says, you can't do it. That's where John chapter 6 and verse 63 comes in, where he says, you can't do it. Only the Spirit can do it. And we know that from Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right?
Yeah.
That the faith to believe is the gift of God. It's not your doing that no man might boast. And so Jesus says that to him, and then what does it say at the end of John chapter 6? That many of them left. Because when Jesus is feeding you fish and bread, and he's making your belly happy, and you have prosperity, like that you can put your fingers on, you're all happy, and everything's wonderful. But when Jesus comes behind that, and he says, listen, I think there's something happening here that's richer and deeper, and you need to drink of this thing. You need to feast on these things, the spiritual truth. Many people go, well, can't you just make some more fish and bread for us?
Hmm.
Can't you just do that? Why do we have to get all spiritual now? And many of them leave. In fact, a vast amount of those people in the crowd leave. So the chapter begins with them praising Jesus because he met their physical need. And the end of the chapter is many people leaving because Jesus is now challenging them to live by the Spirit.
And it shows how fickle people can often be. Like, it reminds me of that Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, welcoming him into Jerusalem. And then just within a few short hours or a few days, it's like, crucify him, how fast they switched their allegiance or got caught up for one moment in the emotions and then, let's crucify him.
Yeah, well, and just think about, so take this to personal application. How many times, you know, those who are listening, have I had God do something, and we spent some time on the other side of God doing it and actually plumbed into the spiritual truths that are associated with it. Instead, what do? We celebrate that God provided something for us, and we run around and tell everybody else how God provided something for us. You know, it reminds me that just recently I was praying with somebody who is going through some issues, some things going on in their life. And they said, you know, we just feel like this is just going on and it's difficult and it's hard and it doesn't seem like there's any end to it. And I said, well, wait a second, let's pause for a second here. You know, you're a senior saint. I mean, what's God's track record been like in your life?
Hmm.
Oh, wow. You know, I mean, yeah, back in 1960, he showed up and did this. And you know, we start going through that and they're like, wait a second. God's showing up all the time. His track record is impeccable.
Yeah.
For in his time, intervening in ours. But see, we forget that spiritual truth, don't we?
Yeah.
Because I think what happens is when God intervenes, when God does something, we're so busy celebrating the something that God has done that we're missing the deep spiritual truth. And I think that that comes from not living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, celebrating what God has done in the Spirit. When God does something that he supernaturally provides, are we stopping and saying, Lord, thank you so much. What do you want to teach me through this? Because I really don't think that God just wants to give you something. I think that God wants to teach you something through the gift. You know, I remember not too long ago, somebody had given me, you know, some money. And they said, you know, here, I just want to give this to you. It's a gift. And my first inclination when I got the money was thinking about all the things that I wanted to do. Like all the things like, oh, I'd like to do this. We'd like to get some floors on our house. We'd like to do this. And I started thinking about all the things that this money could do instead of thinking about maybe I'm just supposed to hold this money and it's supposed to bless somebody else.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's supposed to be a blessing. You know, I didn't get the money. Let's just be honest. I didn't get the money. See, I'm even softening the story because this is my flesh acting.
Yeah.
I didn't get the money and say, you know what I should do with this is take my wife out to a nice dinner. You know what I should do with this money is I should take our whole family out and give everybody a $20 bill and tell them to go in the store and buy whatever they want to buy and just see the joy on their face. I didn't say, you know what, I should take the kids and we should go do something super fun. My first inclination was, what do I want?
Yeah.
What would I like to have? I'd like to get a new pair of pants. I'd like to get a new sport coat. You know, all of a sudden I had this list. And God, I really felt God in that moment, like, press on me. It's one of those times where I could just feel like it physically almost press on me and like him say, I didn't give that just to you.
Yeah.
I gave that for you to do something with it. And why do you just want it for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a part, when I got that immediately, I wasn't in the spirit. I was like in my own flesh going like, ooh, what could I get?
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to think about that and operate in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And begin to ask the Holy Spirit, not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you teaching me through your spirit right now? Lord, where are you going to guide me by your spirit? How are you going to strengthen me by your spirit? You know, and I think that is where the rubber meets the road for so many of us Christians. But Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 told us, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power.
Mm-hmm.
And that power is not the power to succeed or to crush. That power is not the power simply for prosperity. That power is so that you would be patient and wise, that you would love, that you would be long-suffering, that you would be encouraging. That's what that true power is. Anybody can make a lot of money. Anybody can do a lot of things. But there's a very small number of people who can love well.
Amen. Well, a point of application tomorrow around 11 o'clock, if the Spirit of the Lord brings some opportunity into your mind, I need some help at our Clinton, Illinois radio tower to do some weeding and clean up. And the person that actually owns the property said the weeds have overgrown and they need me to be very intentional and have it done sometime by Saturday. So if somebody wants to put some rubber to the road and assist for 2 or 3 hours, weeding or weed whacking or pulling up some roots in Clinton, Illinois, we can figure it all out. Call into the station and I'd be very pleased to have you assist me with that. I'll be driving out my pickup truck and we could do some weed whacking together. We got to make that Clinton Tower look really good. So that's around 11 o'clock on Saturday. So if that's a possibility, call in 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. We got to go. SR News won't wait. Pastor Jason, be praying up your pastor for this Sunday's message, that God would influence his words, his study, his prep, and deliver a message that's personalized for you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're praying up for all the pastors throughout the area as they divide God's word on Sunday. So be in a good Bible-believing church this Sunday. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.